This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. A rumor that no parent wants to hear circulated in Bethel last week. The Lower Kuskokwim School District disclosed it had received a threat of a school shooting in the same high school where a little over 20 years ago a shooting took the lives of a student and the school principal. This time, no evidence supporting the threat ever emerged. This situation prompted parents to have some talks with their children about what to do about this threat or others that might arise. Rhonda Phillips heard about the threat last Monday.
My seventh grader called me on my cell phone and he said, "Mom, they found a note about a school shooting that's going to happen on Thursday. I don't want to come to school on Thursday because I don't want to die."
Her first reaction was to calm her son down.
I said, "Are you safe now? Are you comfortable? If you are, then we'll talk about it at home. The school's going to take care of, they have their ways of taking care of the situation, and we'll be able to talk about it more tonight when you get home."
That afternoon, the school district issued a three-sentence email to parents saying they'd received a threat but did not have evidence to substantiate it, and they'd asked Bethel police to increase their presence at the school until the investigation finished. Another email to parents advised students to leave backpacks at home, saying any backpacks brought to school would be searched and metal detectors may be used. That evening, Phillips talked with both her sons about what to do if a shooting occurred.
What I was asking both boys was, do you know how to defend yourself? Do you know how to hide from somebody? Do you know how to get away? Are you willing to defend yourself? Are you willing to defend, help your other friends if something is happening?
Andre Yachmanoff is the father of a 10th grader at Bethel Regional High School. News of the threat prompted him to have his first conversation with his son about school shootings.
I've known it's happened here before, but I was thinking along the lines like the remote chance of it ever happening again, so I never thought about bringing it up with him.
Last Monday night, father and son considered what to do if it did happen again.
I asked him how he felt, and he goes, "Actually, I feel fine. He's not, like, afraid or anything." So I told him, I go, in case something happens like that, they're going to be locking doors and stuff, and kind of said, where the doors are locked, try not to be in an area where someone walking by can look through a window and see where you're at. And so I just told him, try to find a safe area to stay and listen to the teachers as well.
Karen Bayayuk was working next door to the high school when the 1997 school shooting occurred. She had talked with her son about that day many times, saying the shooter was bullied and that he, her son, needs to be kind to people. When this new threat emerged, she used it as an opportunity to teach her son to be careful with his words.
So I always talk to him and make sure he does not say whatever comes to his mind right away, to think it out, to make sure he knows if it's something that an adult should know.
These were tough conversations between parents and children. 16-year-old Ethan Sundown said his parents talked about how to keep safe.
If this is going to happen, get away from the situation as fast as you can. Don't try and play the hero.
Anna Kambilainen has two children in Bethel Schools. Her message to them: don't live in fear.
With everything that's been going on in our country and with all the shootings, you could end up holding yourself up in your house because of what could possibly happen. But you have to live your life. You're given one life.
She let her children decide whether they felt comfortable going to school. On Thursday, the day the threat warned the shooting would occur, her daughter chose to stay home. So did nearly half the Bethel Regional High School student body. The school excused all absences that week. On Thursday evening, parents and school staff gathered for a school safety meeting that had been scheduled weeks before. Many parents said they were satisfied with how the school handled the threat by increasing security and hindering access to the schools. Others said the school should have shared resources with parents on how to talk about violent threats with their children and how to manage the anxiety that follows. In economic news, NovaGold, one of the two companies developing the proposed Donlin Gold mine in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, is looking at building the mine in stages to reduce construction cost. That's according to its latest quarterly earnings call. For Alaska's Energy Desk, Christy Schellenberger reports.
Donlin plans to build a mine that is basically two pits eventually merged into one. At its peak, the mine would be more than a mile wide and 2 miles long, and that requires a lot of infrastructure, including a road, an airstrip, and a 315-mile gas pipeline. All that comes with a $7 billion price tag, and Donlin's developers need to trim costs. NovaGold is one of the two companies that has formed Donlin Gold to build and operate the mine. The company is exploring how to build it in stages. NovaGold Vice President of Communications, Melanie Hennessy, says it's not yet finalized.
We're just looking at the better ways to have an opportunity to reduce the big capital expenditure from the front end. As I mentioned, it's one of many options that we've studied.
Donlin says it could take 3,000 people to build the mine and 800 to operate it annually. Hennessy says the company can't say how building the mine in stages might change the number of jobs.
So we don't have that level of detail. And in addition to that, given the population in the region, I think there would be ample opportunities for those that are qualified and willing to work.
As part of its lease agreements with the two Native corporations that own the land and mineral rights, Donlin has promised to prioritize hiring local shareholders. Meanwhile, NovaGold says that there's a big chance that the mine could eventually grow and operate longer. Hennessy says that the mine as currently designed holds almost 40 million ounces of gold to be mined over 27 years. And engineers found that
you have exploration potential to be able to expand beyond that footprint that would add to the timeline that's currently envisioned in the feasibility study.
Hennessy says she doesn't know when they will wrap up the feasibility study, which would update how Donlin plans to build the mine. She says the next earnings call should provide more details. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Christy Schellenberger in Bethel.
This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please send your comments and news tips to news@kyuk.org. And stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.